Let me bang.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, Jamie, man.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, nerds and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, for gay Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
All right, so we're on the MMA Roasted podcast.
Bro, I can't do the show today. I'm at the fucking parole office right now. They're fucking made me wait for an hour right now, bro. You know, I'm going to write a bad Yelp review about this parole office. I think that it's going to make a difference if I try to reset the system by saying that, you know, I'm taking a hard-earned tax dollars of American people to sit here in front of the parole office for an hour and a half.
Jason, as much as I would love for you to be entertaining, the fact that you're in front of the parole officer right now, I want you to get a good score. I don't know how it works, or a good review. So I don't think screaming in front of the parole place is the best possible thing you can do right now.
The thought occurred to me as well. But don't worry. Safe youth zone.
Yeah.
Okay, so safe zone. Okay, you're safe.
So we can move the show. Well, either way, we're going to put this into the show, but we can move it to Thursday. I'm going to New York tomorrow. I'm doing Gutfeld Wednesday. And then Thursday I can do, I got the whole day. What time are you free on Thursday, Jason?
Bro, after I have some Hollywood ass meeting in Hollywood. So like noon is the meeting. I spar before that. So I'm going to be tired of the spar. And then like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. There you go. And you're just going to cut to me on MMA Roasted going, okay, guys, I'm ready. I just did my Hollywood meeting and I did sparring. God bless America.
Do you think you could do one? Would 1:30 work? Because,
yeah.
1:30?
I'll make it work.
Bro. All right. Bill, 1:30 on Thursday?
Sure. That works. So that's yeah. With their LA. Yeah.
But Bill, this is your apartment, but it looks like you're like in some kind of Mexican fiesta thing or what's going on?
There you go. It's like, you know, I got my little yard, my little tarps and string lights. And yeah, a little quinceanera action going on.
Bill is living his best life. He's setting up fucking circus tents in his
back. Here you are. You can't get a metro at the probation office.
By the way, I like how you said what we're going to talk about as if I didn't spend the last 3 hours writing down things we can talk about today on the podcast. So it starts with my wife told me she got mad at me because she put on her high school cheerleading outfit. And she's like, I still fit in my cheerleading outfit. So I was like, wow, how big were you in high school? But I meant like,
Adam.
I meant like her boobs. Like I didn't mean like she was big. So now she's, yeah, that's probably not what I should have said, right?
You think?
They made it out of stretching material in the 70s?
Spandex?
Because she has implants. She's got huge titties. So, and she didn't have those in high school. So that's why I said that. It was nothing to do with like.
Then you're supposed to say, how big were your titties in high school? Not how big were you?
I know. Sometimes I edit too much. You know how like I like to make everything shorter? I leave out words. That's the problem. It's
words. Oh, economy of words, Greenberg.
Mayhem, have you ever been invited to a ditty party?
Well, dude, I mean, I just got back from one. I'm out in charge of those parties, bro. Our freak-offs go hard. We don't use baby oil, bro. That's what I'm talking about. Everybody's getting rug burned.
I never went to a freak-off. I went to a freak-on. People showed up as freaks and then got dressed and left. It was like...
That's so stupid.
Yeah. Back to the ditty parties, bro. We're going to fucking... Hey, so what do you think Halloween is going to be?
I didn't even think about
it. Oh, yeah. Everyone's going to have baby oil and diapers and all sorts of shit.
People going as a giant baby oil? Like, that would be the
yes. thing.
You go as a giant baby oil.
It's going to be Menendez Brothers. It's going to be P. Diddy.
Yeah. Yeah. What are you? Are you? Are you not really? Are you gonna dress up in a costume mayhem or no?
No, I think I'm gonna. Yeah. No, I want to get a girlfriend like to be P. Diddy, and I'll be Justin Bieber.
Oh, fuck!
Isn't that what happened?
Dude, you know what's annoying though? There's this person I know, this comic, and she's, you know, pretty comic. And then she posts like, she has a song, Justin Bieber, baby, baby, right? And then she's like, I got invited to a Diddy party, or I went to a party with Justin Bieber, but I left before noon because nothing, or before midnight, because nothing good happens after. And I'm like, dude, like, now, come on, dude, like, what are we doing? Like, is everyone just a huge clout? Like everyone just like,
yeah.
Leave Bieber alone. First of all, leave Bieber alone. Like the guy's obviously had enough trauma in his life for 1,000 people.
Yeah. For 1,000 baby oil bottles.
I mean, it seems that way, Jason. It seems like he's been like passed around by, you know, people, big rappers in the music business. Like,
I'm sorry that in between driving your Lamborghini and getting high, you had to sing a few songs and suck Diddy's cock. Woo-hoo, Justin Bieber.
You would never do that. I'm sorry. If you had to get fucked in the... Jason, if you had to get fucked in the ass for any... in return for success, I don't... You would not take it.
Listen, no. I'm worse. And I look... I'm on this show. Fuck. I'm like... I've done 10 times the fucking pain that Bieber's been through for 1/10 of the success that he's got. So
I don't
wait, come on. That's not true. 1/10. That's not nearly as much as 1/10.
Look, you're sitting inside your fucking circus backyard. I'm here at the fucking parole office. Okay. Fucking with two sticks to rub together to make fire.
Jason, first of all, you're doing great. You're doing great.
I literally slept back there so I could make it on time for my probation department.
Number one, Jason, you're doing great. Number two, you're not a victim. Okay.
Fuckers fucking calling. Yeah, and I'm not a victim. I'm just fucking around. I'm just playing a role for you, Justin Bieber's ill success.
You know, my wife, said to me yesterday, she goes, Adam, she she's really into going to church and stuff, which I love that about her, but she's like, you know, you've been around a lot of, before me, you slept with a lot of porn stars and this one and that one and, you know, girls and strippers and, you know, and I honestly think you need like prayer, like where some ladies at the church will pray for you. And I'm like, you want them to pray for my dick? I'm like, first of all, I think that you already would have had something. I think it's, we're in this for... In this for 10 years, number one, we did 10 years. So what am I going to do? Tell a bunch of ladies at the church that I fuck porn stars and that my dick needs to be prayed for? Oh, like, why would that be a good idea, Bill?
Well, I think she's talking about your soul, Adam.
Oh, really?
Now, are you a practicing Jew or are you like a fake Jew? What type of Jew are you? Happy Rosh Hashanah. Happy October 7th, by the way.
Happy October 7th.
I mean, no, that's how you say it. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's the opposite of happy October 7th.
Cut that out. No, but I'm
the number one.
Is this a holiday for you? You're Jewish.
Rosh Hashanah is a holiday. I'm not Jew. I'm not religious. But at the same time, if I was in Germany in World War II, I would have been rounded up by Hitler. So it's more Judaism by guilt.
Which is a perfect type of Judaism.
I mean, is there another kind that I don't know about?
So anyway, if anybody wants to know, I'm writing a book, Jason, and now my whole family's mad at me.
Wait, how can you write a book when everything that you say lands in one line?
All right, first of all, dickhead.
Is it going to be a fucking book? Chapter one line fucking joke, and chapter two, it's going to be a 600 chapter book. Thank God.
First of all, I'll give you a reading course so you can read it. Number one, right.
the forward is going to be by Greg Gutfeld. It's going to be all swastikas.
I'm going to have you write it, actually. You know what?
Yeah, it's about time.
By the way, Mayhem is a great writer. I used to read his articles back in a Fight magazine. And I kid you not, this is before I even met him, Bill. He is an insanely creative, good writer.
Really?
I haven't written shit since back then, to be honest, bro. I haven't written something longer than a tweet since fucking 2016, I think.
Well, I'm writing a book. You should write a book, number one.
I know. Keep saying that. Rampage said to me the other night on fucking voice chat on Discord, we're playing Call of Duty. He was like, man, you need to write a book, man. You're smart. You don't even got to get someone else to do it for you. I was like, what the fuck?
Dude, I sat down and started writing it, right? I'm about 10 pages deep, and obviously it needs a lot, right? It's very therapeutic. It's also really sad. Like, yeah. Oh my God, I didn't realize how sad my childhood was for a while. And also now my family members who I told about the book are mad at me because I'm trying to bond with them of like my dad, you know, look, I have a great dad. My dad's always been there for me. I love my dad. But when I was younger, he used to sell baseball cards, and I used to go with him to the baseball card shows. Right. And I would set up and he had like this grab bag where he would tell everyone this $125 Brian Taylor, who was a pitcher for the Mets, a phenom, was in the grab bag. And every time someone got a good card, he would ring a bell. So all the other vendors were fucking mad because they're like trying to sell, and then ding-a-ling-a-ling, and everyone rush over to our booth. Dude, my dad never put the card in. The fucking in the grab bag, he never put the – he would wait till like – he went through like all these different sets and then finally like slip it in like at the very end. So he was like ripping kids off. I mean, look, this is a long time ago. So then – my dad left the booth for a while, and then some other kid came and like actually won it. And I gave him like a bad card. Like I gave him a card that was like a five. I'm like, oh, you won. But I looked at the card he won, and I like reversed, and I'm like, Dad, I saved this money. You know, I didn't give the kid. And my dad looked at me like so disappointed in himself because he taught me how to steal. Basically taught me how to rip kids off, you know?
Yeah. And, Jewish guys ripping people.
I know. It's. Nothing I didn't want to go there.
It's nothing to do with Jewish Judaism, number one. But at the so I like told my dad about that. My dad's mad now. That's part of the book.
He's like, why? It's so long ago.
Of course, dude. There's a lot. Dude, I'm telling you, this book is fucking crazy. You guys, Mayhem's a part of the book too.
But wait till you get to the chapter where your aunt molested you. That's gonna be really tough.
And then he molested my aunt. It was, no, but there is a part, dude, there is a part when I was a kid that all the kids in the neighborhood would get together. And like when I was like 3 or 4 or 5, and that's when kids actually hung out in the neighborhood together.
Yeah.
And the whole summer we were just showing each other our like privates, like showing our penis. And some kid told me he would give me an Apple computer if I showed him my penis. And I was like 4, and this kid was like 30. Okay. And,
we had a computer.
Dude, I never got the computer. Just so you know, I'm still waiting. I'm now 46 years old, waiting for this fucking computer.
But he got a nice long shot at your dick, though, didn't he?
I could do it. Yeah. Yeah. And there's a lot of shit. I mean, I talk about the time I got hit by a car. I was in third grade, and I was walking across the street, and I like gave some of my bike. I had a new bike, and me and my friends, we would go and like steal from the pharmacy. I was really into like stealing back then. And I go, hey man, can you take my bike? So we went and we're cutting up the cars. Dude, this car hit me. It was parked and it wasn't at a red light. I went like 10 feet in the air. I was completely unconscious. My baseball cards were everywhere. They went flying. They were in my hand. Dude, all these kids came and took my cards and ran away. Like I'm laying there. I had to go to the hospital for 3 weeks.
Three weeks.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Well, listen,
they all took your cards. That's awful.
You got saddest childhood stories on earth.
Dude, it keeps going.
So what, you didn't get an Apple computer? If you let him look at your dick longer, you would have got a record contract.
Oh,
dude. That was wrong. Goodness, my bad.
So by the way, so this scam, that's the scammer.
Oh yeah, update, so please.
We're up to over 110 people, right? And I actually wrote a bit about it. I like did it on stage and I posted it and I tagged her about how I'm in this group and the difference between white people and black people react to being scammed. Because the white girls, like she, her in their bio, they're like, who are like empaths, like maybe she'll pay us back. And you know, she just got an overhead. And the black women are like, fuck that hoe. She better go out and sell ass. So like, and then I posted it, and some girl goes, "Who is it? What a scam." She goes, "She better hit them corners."
Hoa.
I love that. Hit them corners.
Dude, so then this girl, the girl who scammed me, writes back, "By the way, that bit was hilarious." Like we're the one who scammed me said, "I really, by the way, that bit was," because I like, dude, my daughter finally found out we're not going. My daughter was crying, like,
oh,
crying. Why would she lie to us? Why would she steal our money? She's a grown up, but she's a grown and just bawling. And I have to explain to her that sometimes grown ups do bad things. And sometimes people are selfish. And I go, you know how sometimes at the playground a kid won't share his toys? No, that doesn't happen. it was like, so that was, and then so I texted Kat. I go, just so you know, you know, my daughter was crying, hysterical. And you know, you should be ashamed of yourself. And then the girl, Kat, writes back, "You would have had your tickets. They were on their way." Like, she's still in.
Oh, yeah. You would have. If you didn't blast me, I would have sent them. Of course. That's a typical comment response.
She's like, "You would have gone to France. You're the one." She's like, "And by the way, you're on the list to be paid back, right?" Dude, people are saying she has a list, and she told someone that the number 45 on the list. Like, she's actually, the fucking Diddy list is shorter than the top.
I'm sure when she gets into the 40s, she'll let you know.
Dude, it's fucking crazy. And then she told someone she has six. I take her to small claims. She has six small claims dates coming up, two on the same day.
Nice.
Two on the fucking. And then she told someone, "I'm going to pay everyone back $1 a month."
That's hilarious.
Man, now, is she even going to go? When is it small claims? I want to show up to that date. I want to show up like the People's Court and be in the gallery, the peanut gallery, and throw tomatoes at her, put her in the stockade. Like, fucking.
She won't go. She's messaging from Bali or something. She's probably not even in the States anymore.
No, she is. She's got four kids. She's in the States. She's got four kids. And she's got, I mean.
She's got four kids.
She showed, I mean, I don't know. This is the best podcast, right? John Fry doesn't know what fucking year it is. He's gonna come on, guarantee, in an hour and go, "Did I miss it? Oh, my bad. My bad, brother. You gotta."
Bro, I'm trying my best. I just got a lot of life going on.
Dude, Mayhem's at his parole officer doing fucking laps, getting his steps in, and McCorkle. It's just frozen. I mean, he's more frozen than he was in his fight with fucking, what's his name? That big tall guy, Stefan Struve. Okay, so this is the best. Dude, McCorkle's frozen. Fucking Mayhem is doing laps.
I'm at my Ken Sierra.
Bill Dawes has a fucking Palestinian flag behind him.
Oh, shit. I didn't even think about that. Oh, my God. The optics are terrible. On the day of all days.
Fucking, and it asked me if I had a happy October 6th with a fucking Palestinian flag behind
me. Wait, October, Adam, 7th. I said October 7th.
October 7th. Meanwhile, so dude, so I just got back from the cruise. So dude, it was actually, the cruises are actually, if it wasn't for being on the ship, they would be awesome. Like, if you could just drive up to the ship, do the shows, and then drive home, it'd be the best gig, because the people are there to have fun. The crowds that I do are either like half MAGA and then half like little boozy fans with like gold teeth and just having the greatest time ever. And they're there to laugh. So I'm on stage and this, like, I don't know, like black family of like 15 or 20 people, they're just laughing. And then some guy comes in late and it's like, I can't see the crowd. It's really black. And the guy's wearing a tank top, a white tank top. And I go, man, it looks like a floating tank top. Walking around the room. Dude, these people were rolling on the floor. Like, you know how like in Def Jam, you used to watch Def Jam, people were like out of their seats. They did a thing on Living Color where they like, they did a parody of it where the guy's head just exploded, the Wayans brothers.
I love it. They like leave the room. The joke is really good.
Yeah. People get up and leave the room. Mayhem's kind of like that too, though. Jason, you kind of have that kind of same energy a little bit.
Listen, I didn't think about like my living, like the way I grew up. I grew up and my earliest memories are with me and all black kids. And like at that age, you don't even realize the difference at black or whatever. You don't know, have any preconceived notions. So my formative years were spent with all black people. So yeah. I'm like culturally black. So yeah. Yes. You know, I'm a white ass honky, but dude, I can't help it. I laugh really hard and I think that things are, I don't know, much different.
No, the same. And Bill, when you grew up in the tough streets of where were you? New Jersey, Princeton, New Jersey.
Wait, Adam, hold on, Adam. Wait a second. Let's not get this twisted, bro. My school was 70% black in high school.
Really?
School, okay.
Yeah, but
I'm
you're
an honorary member.
Yeah, but you were homeschool.
Yeah. I wish. No. My school, you know, it's a joke. I go, my high school was 70% black and 30% terrified. We couldn't have night football games because of riots. We weren't allowed. T.C. Williams is a famous school. It was Alexandria, Virginia, outside D.C. Yeah, so that movie, Remember the Titans, is about my high school.
Oh, but wow.
We were notorious for what's that?
So I'm guessing loosely based.
And he comes in from the rafters.
Oh man, off the top rope like Jimmy Snuka.
Sean, you were a D1 basketball player. You were the best basketball player to ever go to your high school, right?
Oh yeah, but we only had 50 kids in high school, so that wasn't much to say. So.
Did you play against mostly black teams or white teams?
No, we played all white teams in high school and college. I went to a junior college first, so I was the only white guy on the team that played. And then it was all like everybody on our team had a probation officer, not because they were black, because they were underprivileged and, you know, institutional racism. So, but yeah, we had a couple of murderers on our team, couple of grand theft auto every day. I had to meet with our probation officers. When I was in study hall, they were meeting with their probation officers. And I was the problem, according to the coach. I was the one with an attitude problem.
Were you friends with the kids, at least?
Yeah, man, I mean, they were all right. The ones that I had to, every year you had to smack somebody first practice because people think they can intimidate you. And when you're not the biggest dude on the team, but I'll punch you in the face really quick. So like we had a guy, I always called him Mr. T because that's how he talked. He's like, I paid you a fool to try to take the ball from me. He didn't really say that, but he had a Mr. T type attitude, and he was Mr. Basketball in the state of Michigan, a runner up Mr. Basketball. So he got smoked with a ball in the face the first day because he smacked it out of my hands after he scored on me. He smacked it out of my hands, so I threw the ball and smacked him in the face with it. He came out and tried to hit my face, and he got bitch slapped really hard. And then they broke it all up, and then no one wanted to mess with me the rest of the year when they found out I was the crazy white kid, I guess. But not crazy. I'm just not going to be bullied. So.
No, Jason, I saw Sean's highlight film in basketball. Dude, he was, like, legitimately dunking over everybody. Like,
how are you surprised? This guy's so what the fuck?
Yeah, but McCorkle was like, I mean, you could have went you could have went pro overseas, right?
Yeah, I had offers overseas. There wasn't enough money for me, man. They were like, ironically, Israel, which I'm glad I probably would have blown up over there, literally. But no, I had an offer in Israel, a couple of teams over there, but they won like 40 grand for 4 months of basketball. I was like, dude, I'm not going to Israel or someplace where there's bombs going off for $40,000. I'm good, you know. So.
You might as well just play at a Brendan Schaub comedy show, right? that's crazy that I would have loved to watch you play in Israel.
I would have loved to watch him dunk on somebody wearing a yarmulke.
Can you imagine like the trouble Sean would have gotten in Israel? And this is like,
oh god,
this is like 24-year-old. Like I don't know what he would have done, but it would have been something ridiculous. Like
just because I brought up the Nazis in Poland doesn't mean I would have done anything in Israel.
No, but I feel like you would have had a business going, and then it would have been like Palestinians working on roofing. It would have been some type of like ridiculous.
You would have been,
I've got one now, dude.
You would have been guarding the West Bank up in Settlers. Hey, you would have a fucking necklace with foreskins all over it.
Oh my god.
He would have been selling steroids to the Israeli army. Like I could just Think of the nonsense he would have pulled.
Yeah, because if there's anything the Israeli army needs, it's more help from an American.
Oh, God. All right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
I will say I almost got to human trafficking the other day when I found out some of the Guatemalans working for me paid $18,000 a person to get here from Guatemala. 18 grand a person, man. It blew me away. So I was like, I started thinking about how I could get into human trafficking, and then I changed my mind because it seems a little risky.
Well, I had a friend inside who was doing 10 years on that, bro. So I would advise against it as your attorney.
I decided that, but I am going to start shipping of Mexicans down to do roofs in Florida after this next major incident that's happened, this hurricane down there, because they're paying triple rates down there. So I'm bringing a whole busload of Mexicans down there to start putting roofs on at triple rates.
That idea.
Mayhem, I remember when celebrities were trying to hire you to like collect money. Like, remember when rappers would hit you up?
What? No way. You were an enforcer?
Like, yeah. No, he didn't do it.
No, he just knew how to ruin their credit.
No, he didn't do it, especially you know where he's at right now. But I remember they were trying to, and then he was like, and anyway, they said he would text him back and say, lose my number and stuff. So Don, how are you doing? I feel like are you getting a blowjob right now? What's going on?
No, I'm just sitting here listening to your nonsense.
By the way, so I'm on the cruise ship, right? And we like get off in Mexico. There's a woman that must have been 500 pounds. I mean, like 450, like easily. A big black woman, right? And she gets up and starts dancing on a pole. Now we're in like a restaurant and it's like noon. She gets up and one ass cheek is like to the right. The other one is in fucking Detroit. She's twerking. People are getting up and leaving. Like they're trying to eat around her. But everyone else is taping, screaming, woo! Like it.
You guys, the girl slowly sucked into her butthole.
The girl is very flexible. I mean, very, like, every sexual thing. And you can't believe she's 500 pounds doing this. Like, you're just like, wow, this dude, after she gets that, boy, make her.
So how was it?
Yeah.
So how was it?
It was.
First over this.
People are making a rain on her. Dude, she gets off the pole and gets into a scooter and drives off.
That's awesome. I think I'm in love.
Oh, rascal.
Like, what kind of disability is that? Like she can't walk, but she could do every... I mean...
Apparently, she can't believe it.
Oh, my God. There's too many jokes on this fucking podcast, bro. I'm joking at the same time and shit.
Oh, she got to do the twerk. It's a bit of fart and the vibration just gets it going, man.
That's a fetish right there. I don't want
to. I mean, is that like everything was wrong with like younger people, the generation that like everyone's doing it for Instagram? People are kind of lazy. You can't walk. But then again, you could move your ass in fucking 19 different directions. There's kids eating. Nobody gives a fuck about anybody's privacy, anybody's space. Like, is that everything wrong with this younger in like one moment in time, Sean?
Yeah.
I don't know. Bruce Buffer's had his ass moved all kind of different directions for 30 years. So I don't know if it's this different.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
What's up, people? Listen. Major League Baseball is right now, and I've had some of my best memories, me and my dad going to games. I actually caught a couple balls a couple times. I had a blast. I take my daughter to the game, my wife. We have a great time. And check it out. Game Time is an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which means getting tickets, you can get them faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to the first pitch. It goes down, not up. Now, with killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, okay, which is great. That way you don't get there and all of a sudden you can't see anything. And their lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets. So you gotta check out this Game Time app. It is so easy, okay, to navigate, download. I go to all my sporting events. I went to a Sparks game, the one that I took Mayhem and them to. All right, we had a great time. It was like $14 each. It was cheaper than movie tickets. All right, so you got to check it out. They got last minute deals. You could save up to 60% buying off last minutes for sports, concerts, comedy, theater. You get flash deals. All right. Which means that you could save even more with exclusive in-app deals on select seats ahead of the game or the event. They have all in pricing and they have ticket coverage. Your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. And they have lowest price guarantee, which means if it's not the lowest price, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. So take the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets with Game Time. So download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code CLNS for $20 off first purchase. That's right. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem the code CLNS for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets. Lowest price guarantee. Trust me, you will thank me later.
Did you guys watch the Mr. McMahon documentary, by the way?
No, but I heard it's amazing.
No.
Do you want to tell us about it at all?
Nice. No, I mean, guys, you should watch it. And we could talk about it some other time on a different podcast. But I think it's pretty, not Adam's podcast, but some other podcast we can get on. No, right. I mean, it's interesting. You should watch it because I didn't know how fucked up people get. I feel like people get more injured doing professional wrestling than they do in the UFC.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I broke my back.
Yeah, you broke your back. How did you break your back, Don?
And my neck. How? I don't know. Just the accumulation of falls and things like that, you know. But the neck, I got stomped in the back of the neck by one dipshit. And I heard it crack, you know. Oh, it didn't sound good, you know.
Damn.
Yeah.
Fuck. That sucks. And also, I don't even know if I should talk about this, but, you know, so I go to the gift shop to buy a Barbie doll for my daughter on the ship. Because my daughter won't talk to me on FaceTime unless I have a doll. Like, I have to be Jeff Dunham. Like, I have to do the doll's voice. And go, hey, Violet, nice to meet you. She'll talk for 2 hours to the doll. She's like, I don't want to talk to you. She's mad at me, right? So now, and then I have to bring up two dolls because they could talk to each other, you know, and it's a whole thing. So I go to the Barbie, the gift shop on the cruise, and they have a Barbie doll. And I'm like, oh, this is Barbie. This one looks a little unique, right? And then I look down, it has Down syndrome. They have a Down syndrome Barbie doll, which I think
Ken was the only one in Down syndrome in that whole relationship.
No,
I think it was a Shark Oracle doll, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I finally have an action figure.
But so I'm like, I should buy this for my daughter. But then I'm like, well, do I have to then pretend I have Down syndrome when I play with it? You know, like,
oh my God,
I have to pretend.
Please tell me you did.
How do you even pretend to have Down syndrome? What do you do?
That's what I'm saying. At a certain point, this is like this. I'm mocking the situation, right? Because if I don't have Down syndrome and I just, which then
you're
it's
cheating.
Like, what's the right? But if I do, then I'm like, is there any winning in this situation?
You got to be careful though, because you get typecast and have a Down syndrome, like already happened to you earlier in your career. So you don't want to keep that.
I don't want to. Yeah.
I heard you were the understudy for Corky on Life Goes On.
All right. Anyway, so and then I met this girl that was like on the ship that said, these three girls, right? And they're telling me, I'm like, oh, you guys sisters? They go, sisters? They're like, yeah, you know, we're sisters, but we all have the same dad. They all have different moms. I'm like, oh, okay. And they're like close to each other's age. And they're like, yeah, we found out. We didn't even know we were related, but we found each other on 23andMe.
Oh my God.
About a year ago. And then they said they were all lesbians too. And then they.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What a good dad. What a great dad.
Great dad.
I asked, so what's your dad like? They always, oh, fuck that guy. They all hate him. I guess he's not there for him. But yeah.
Of course not, dummy. Jeez.
Man, I guess people just hate fucking pulling out, huh?
Like, yeah, that's what this whole election is based on, people not wanting to pull out or wear condoms.
They were like, it was like 23 and not us. That's a good joke, if you guys think about it.
Yeah, yeah. So, speaking of which, dude, the first time, so my wife, you know, we have a daughter, but she got pregnant within like a week of us, like 3 weeks. She got pregnant, right? And that baby was a miscarriage, sad. But when she first told me she was pregnant, I was like on the road, and I was on the way to the radio station. And she's like, "Listen," she sends me a photo of her, you know, basically pregnancy test, and then she's like, "I'm pregnant. Don't tell anyone." And within 5 minutes, I told everyone in the greater Rochester area on radio.
Oh,
the
people
in the greater Rochester area really count as anyone? You think about it?
Yeah.
No.
They don't really
count. No, 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 no. Anyway.
Well, they'd say that you don't do that because it's bad luck. Oh, yeah. No, look what happened. Anyway.
Does anyone ever, Sean, when you talk to people on the phone, right? Like my dad, love my dad, but whenever I talk to him, he's either sucking on an olive or his teeth or fucking sunflower seeds. So whenever I have him on speaker, like I hear,
you're like, if I wanted to listen to this, I'd talk to Bruce Buffer on speaker.
I was waiting for Brandon Schaub. You want Bruce over Brandon? Okay.
I'm overloading on Buff.
Dude, it's the worst noise I've ever heard. It's the So I'm like, Dad, you got to stop with that noise. Like, and then I'm like, what are you chewing on? And then no matter what we're talking about, then that becomes, he's like, you know what? Then I looked at it. There's an actual, like a disorder of people that were, it triggers them. And I'm like, Dad, you gave me this fucking disorder now, you know, of getting triggered by that fucking slurping on your fucking. And he's like, well, add that to the list of things. Anyway. All right. UFC fights. Cause now that we're 40 minutes into the podcast, we didn't cover one fucking fight. Don, do you watch the fights?
Yeah, I did actually. Yeah.
Sean, you watch?
I only saw the main event.
Bill.
Yeah.
All right. So Khalil Roundtree obviously lost to Pereira. And, you know, the problem is I watched that fucking countdown thing, you know, and then I start like, I'm always like, oh, Pereira's going to win this. And then I start watching about this guy's life. And, you know, Roundtree, his father got murdered. His father was the bodyguard for like Boys to Men and New Edition. And he got murdered when Khalil was real little. And then he was like, you know, he was depressed. He got up to 300 pounds. He was fucking on drugs. And then one day he almost died. And he said, fuck this. Went to his gym. And you can't help but fucking root for that guy. And I'm like, you know what? I started thinking, he's a southpaw. He knocked out Gokhan Saki when everyone said Saki was like the greatest kickboxer ever. Knocked him out in the first round. I'm like, I think he could pull this off. Like, I started to think he could do this. And I was wrong. But he did okay. Okay in the beginning. What did you think of the fight, Sean?
Yeah, I was going to say in the fight, it looked like he was going to pull it off there for a few minutes, man. Like, it looked like he really had him in set up in some trouble. But I don't know, man. Pereira did him like he's doing, I hear, many young women. He just took control of the whole situation and didn't give him a chance to fight back.
Oh, but, no.
I don't know.
Allegedly, and I didn't hear that. All right, so Don, what are your thoughts about the fight?
You know, it's pretty obvious who's going to win right away. So, you know, Pereira is just a monster. The guy's unbeatable right now, and he doesn't sweat anybody, you know?
Bill?
No, nobody's at his level.
Bill?
I mean, first of all,
it will be interesting. What?
Go ahead.
Yeah. It will be interesting to see what happens when he moves up to heavyweight, because, you know, he started out as a middleweight, and being able to take the punch difference between a heavyweight and a middleweight is significant. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bill.
And no one's ever been a triple weight winner, right? There's no been ever triple champion, correct?
Nope.
I think Henry was, didn't Henry wanted to do it? He did it at 125 and 135, but he didn't do it at 145. I think he even went to 45. But the thing was, he looks beatable though, because his hands are down and his chin is up. Like,
yeah.
Like that's what makes it seem like everyone else has a chance. Because I mean, Sean, did his hands seem kind of low to you?
I'm always looking for his invisible bow and arrow that I never actually see. So I'm thinking that's probably what he's doing. He just holding that bow and arrow up. But no, I don't know. That may be bad habits. That may be his strategy. It's hard to tell, man, with guys like that. He's real unorthodox. So they look easy to hit, but when their hands are down, it's easy for them to hit you when you're not ready to.
Dude, I was watching the
be a double-edged invisible.
Yeah. I was watching the embedded, and it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen because one of Khalil's teammates was like scared of Bigfoot. He's like this big, like tough black dude, but he's scared of Bigfoot. Like, and he said that. So when they went for a run in Utah, they had someone dress up as Bigfoot and jump out of the like and start chasing them. And dude, so they run into the house, and like a couple of them got guns as like jokes. They're like, they're gonna shoot. And the guy was like, his eyes were like, he was scared shitless. But I'm like, what if he just starts shooting his friend? It was all for a prank, but it was pretty funny. I got to admit, yeah. It was pretty funny.
Did you see the pictures of Khalil after the fight, by the way?
Oh, man.
I mean, that was a brutal, brutal fight.
Brutal.
He's fucked up.
Yeah, his eyes and head were opened up, man. That was rough.
Juliana Pena, Raquel Pennington. You know, people thought Raquel won. I think it's how you score the first round. I have to go back and watch it. It was one of those things where I think the rounds that Juliana won bigger, and the rounds that Raquel won, she won bigger. It wasn't the worst. I think people just don't like Pena. A lot of people hate Pena.
Didn't you hook up with her, Adam?
I think she's sexy. No. I like her.
I never hooked up with her. We're good friends, and we've like hung out as friends.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Put in a word for me, all right?
My son said that he watched that fight. He goes, "It's actually a good fight." I would say it was one of the first women's fights that deserved to be on the main card. So I thought that was good.
That's very nice. I wonder where he gets it from.
Yeah. I don't know.
But Raquel is married to Tisha Torres, and was also on the card. And I said, Tisha hopes she wins because she wants her to keep the strap on, right? And I And then so all these people were like, that's not funny, and that's rude. And fucking Tisha Torres herself goes, that's hilarious. And Raquel's going to love it.
And true.
Good. Good.
I'd like to see like a husband and wife fight on the same card, like that, like Chris Cyborg and her husband.
Yeah.
I always like to see a husband and wife fight on the same card. I just don't know who's the husband, but either way.
I think it's happened. I think it's happened before, and I think the guy lost.
I meant like the two girls.
Oh. Kevin Holland's rib popped out. It's crazy because you could tell he was hurt, but he was like smiling about it. So it didn't look like he was that hurt. But then you also knew this guy's fucking hurt. Like that.
Yeah.
Nothing.
He was doing well. He was doing well before then.
He was getting his ass kicked.
Nothing hurts a black guy more than taking one of his ribs. I'll tell you that.
Hey.
this might be our last official show. But yeah, no, man, have you ever had a rib pop out, Don or Sean?
I have. It's hell.
Yeah, they're miserable. They're miserable.
It's called subluxation. It pops out where your spine attaches. And Tom Erickson was nice enough to pop mine out the day before I fought Marius Pudzianowski the second time. He said, let's just tie up. Let's get a little sweat going. I was like, Tom, I'd really rather not feel like I wrestled with a gorilla. So I'd rather. And he popped one of my ribs out of my spine, and I went to the emergency room, tried to get it put back in, went to a chiropractor, tried to get it put back in, and then fought with a dislocated rib, and then got dry humped for three rounds by Marius Pudzianowski. So add insult to injury.
I mean, is it possible to keep fighting with it or no?
It's hard to breathe, man. It's really hard. You can fight with it, but it's hard to breathe because it hurts every time you inhale, your muscles all spasm around that that rib. So.
Don, what about you? When did it happen to you?
Well, I can't remember when it happened to me, but it happened.
It's probably more than
so
once.
So many fights, so many wrestling matches.
Yeah, Dom,
like you're either in a fight or when I was riding a horse, shooting at Mexicans coming across the border. I can't remember which time, but it popped up.
That's right.
And then Kayla Harrison, you know, I thought, look, she's going to fight better girls. That girl was the number two girl in the world. And people were like, oh, you know, problem is when one girl is like so good and she's a 5-1 favorite, if she doesn't just bury the, and everyone knows what she's trying to do, judo clinch, throw her on the ground and stop her. I thought she looked fine. You know, she didn't look like the great, it wasn't, the problem is I think when she fights these girls, a lot of them, they're trying not to lose. They're not trying to win. And it's so hard to beat someone. I knew when I wrestled. To beat someone who's trying not to lose is so fucking hard to look good against because they're just trying to survive. And, man, Sean, Don, what do you guys think about the Kayla Harrison fight?
I didn't watch it, but I imagine it was very boring without much damage.
Well, she got damaged. Kayla got elbowed like 3 times and her nose was broken. And I thought she lost a second, but in the other 2 rounds, she just took the girl down and just beat up on her. Don, you think anyone's gonna beat her? The girl that was a 2-time judo Olympian gold medalist, and you know, 16.
Yeah, because she's got too many holes in her game. You know, I mean, she's always going, got the left hand up and going for the right leg. You know, I mean, going taking the right arm, going for the left leg. You know, and with the left arm up. I mean, all you gotta do is uppercut her or hit her with a straight right. And it's going to happen, you know. I mean, she's got to change her game. She's got to add more to it.
Yeah.
So what would you tell her if you were her coach?
Give her a different attack.
I know what he just said, but like specifically.
I give her a different attack because she sticks with the same attack. And it's wide open.
Don's like, she needs to work on her double leg, take him down, and be more active in the clinch. You're like, if you're a coach, what would you tell her?
Don's telling her what not to do. Don's telling her, this is what she does every time. She puts her right hand, and you're right, put right hand up, go for the left leg, for that reach across double, or the opposite. Someone's going to uppercut her a straight right. But I'm just saying, like, specifically, like, would you tell her, like, all right, so we want to double jab right, going for a single leg, or like I'm just trying to see like what exactly, like, and like how would you like?
I go for the Sotogari because it's a devastating throw. It'll put it right on their head, and a lot of times it'll knock them out. You know, and if not, it'll make them so, you know, put it on career street, and it'll be so dizzy. Then you start punching them. So you know, or there's all kinds of throws left, you know, to be open that she can do.
I think the last thing we need is more girls on that card on Queer Street. But also,
you owe me a dollar for feeding you that. That was easy. That was too easy.
I also think if she really wants to improve her fighting, the first thing that she do is transition to become a man. That's what I would do if I was a woman and wanted to be a better fighter. Be a man.
This is it,
Adam.
Somebody should like write down like the script of this, you know, like the transcript, and have people read it. Be like, what the fuck?
No fun on the transcript.
You know, it's funny. You talk about, I was watching a fight one time. At Dee McDermott's house and Tori Spelling's house, and when they were married, and there was their friend was gay, and the fights were on, and he was like trying to fit in, you know, like I could tell he wasn't really the biggest fight fan, but he was watching it, and I go, oh man, that guy's on Queer Street. And the guy goes, what street?
And how do you get there? What's the direction?
I was like, no, it's not an actual. I was trying to explain to him like what Queer Street was. By the way, so there was a ref. I don't know if you guys saw. There was a ref on the undercard who might have been the worst against Alamadora Pereira, whatever the guy's name was. But The guy, I think he did not know it was an MMA fight. Like, he kept separating them in the clinch right away and standing them up. Like, I think he thought it was a boxing match. Like for real. Or and they got rid of him right away. And, you know, everyone with, like, Rogan and DC were having a field day with it. But did you see that, Bill?
No, I missed that part.
Oh, it was the best. It was, like, so bad. It was like that Naked Gun movie where he's an umpire. And
wait, so what happened? He just, every time they clinched, time they immediately, he would separate them?
Right away.
Oh, my God. That's insane. And on the ground, he would lift them up, like, immediately?
Yes. Like,
Are you sure it wasn't Dominic Cruz? Because I heard he's always trying to get between two guys with their shirts off.
No, it was not Dominic Cruz, who's not gay. Bruce Buffer, I don't think is gay. I know
don't believe that.
I know.
I heard that Buffer and Dominic Cruz live at the end of Queer Street. They're down at the court. Where the
they were gay, who gives a fuck? Number one. But I know women that have slept with Bruce Buffer. Her name was Phil.
No women have slept with Bruce Buffer. I agree.
I know a woman who has slept.
Oh, I thought you said no women have slept with Bruce Buffer.
No women.
Was it after they went shoe shopping? They were exhausted.
No, Sean. See, this is why these fucking people. When you were on suspension for 3 weeks, Sean. I'm not watching it till fucking McCrone comes back. You have every fucking thing, and I was like, is that Sean writing this shit? And it actually wasn't. But I'm like, everyone's like, this show sucks without McCorkle. Fuck that. I only want McCorkle because he says these jokes like, and they're so fucked up, but they're funny, and he's very funny. But it's just he says them. And no women have slept with, and he's laughing to his own fucking comedy show half the time. Like,
I'm only trying to entertain myself usually.
Yeah, dude, his own fiance.
You were suspended?
Suspended, yeah. His own fiance on Facebook wrote, ban him from the podcast. He's never going to learn. Like his own fiance wrote that and tagged me so that I would see it. Like, the woman that lives with him said, just so you know. Wait, is she in the car with you, by the way?
No, my son's driving. I'm going to have to jump off here in a second, but I was just didn't want to pull up to a customer's house while doing the MMA roasted podcast.
I have a question. This is a serious question, real quick.
Turned on Queer Street, so... Weird.
Are trans women banned from the UFC?
What?
Because Fallon Fox was a trans fighter, and she fought UFC, right?
No, she never made the UFC. She made the LFA and lost to what's her name? Our friend Ashley Evan Smith.
Yeah,
get the shit out of her. No,
that's LFA. Okay, no, so the UFC has never had a trans woman.
No. Okay. No. By the way, and then there was a fighter that got warned that she kept putting her chin in her opponent's eye during the fight. The ref flipped out on her. She was trying to, you know, put her chin in someone's eye as like,
oh, that was legal. I don't know. I didn't know that was illegal.
That's a pretty good move, if you ask me.
No, it's not legal. Uh-huh. By the way, tell your son, Sean Trey, that, he's doing great as a comic. His impressions are unbelievable. And the next time I perform in Las Vegas, he could do a guest set.
All right. Nice. Awesome. Or how about Dayton? That's what we're talking about. When you're gonna come over, you're gonna come over to my house during Dayton, that trip in Dayton, man.
I'll ask the funny bone. That's harder, but I could definitely ask.
Either way, we'll figure it out. We'll tell them we're bringing a bunch of people.
Dayton's harder than Las Vegas.
No, but that it's not harder, but Dayton. I know the people in Vegas. I know the club owner. So a lot of it is like, if I know the club owners, I'm like, hey, can you give the guy? I'll give the guest that. But the funny bone is just, it's a different chain.
If not, we'll figure it out. I don't know, it's no big deal. But I still want you guys to come to my house when you come to Dayton, man, if you can. So.
Absolutely. I can't wait to have the whole town protest.
Picketing against you. All right, I got to jump off here. Love you guys.
Have Love fun. You too, man. Take care. Take care.
Bye.
That was crazy. Now, during the... UFC event, the PFL, because you know Kayla used to be in the PFL. I don't know if you guys know this, and she was like 16-1 in the PFL, but she did lose one fight to this girl Pacheco, who she beat twice. And then the PFL during the event, like, was like, hey, just so you guys know, our girl beat Kayla, blah, blah, blah. Like, they were kind of like, you know, being a little bit cheeky with that. And
they were trolling.
Yeah, they were trolling. And they asked Dana about it. And Dana says, look, I think when you're losing as much money as they are, fucking go for it. He goes, fucking throw the kitchen sink at it. Don Davis, the president of PFL, just came out recently and said, you know, we're going to spend more money and get on the Sphere. That sounds fucking brilliant. How many tickets are you going to sell? They're not very bright. It's all fair. Knock yourself out. They're drowning. They suck. They're not good at what they do. So I guess just keep trying anything you can to make something stick. All good.
Wow.
I mean, look, the PFL, I happen to like the product, but their advertising and the way they get people to watch it is terrible. I mean, you never know when they're going to – their events are. You never know who's fighting. They keep signing all these big names, but those big names don't necessarily mean people are going to, you know, tweet about it or text about it. They signed Jake Paul. They got, you know, Tyron Woodley. They got Paige Van Zandt, Randy Couture, all these. You know, they had – at one point they had Jeremy Piven and all these fucking people and then these fighters and actors and this and that. But no one knows when the events are.
Yeah.
You know, I think they need, like, an Ultimate Fighter type thing. Because the thing about the Ultimate Fighter was, you know, the UFC was drowning, it seemed like, but they put on the Ultimate Fighter. People started watching the reality show and started, like, knowing the guys. Oh, shit, that's Forrest Griffin. Or that guy reminds me of, you know, my son. Or, well, that guy, you know, Kenny Florian. Wow, he was a fucking Rhodes Scholar, whatever he was. And then you're like, holy shit, these aren't just, like, drunk, you know, tough guys. These are actually people that you could identify with. And I think the problem with the PFL a lot of times is that no one knows who the fuck these guys are. All you see is a name from Dagestan and a record. You can't identify. If you actually knew anything about these guys, you might actually give a shit. Or women. But
yeah.
I mean, Don, what would you do to solve the PFL's problem with not getting people to watch?
I never heard the PFL. I'm sorry. I'm lost in the conversation.
Perfect answer.
the what?
Right.
Yeah, you know what? They've got to fucking do something. You know, I mean, they must be hemorrhaging money. Crimey. I don't know. I'd have to sit down and think about it. But obviously, you give me 5 minutes. I can come up with a better product line than what they have, you know?
Yeah. That, and also, like, you know, the consistency is, like, they don't have a – they should find out every time the UFC is going to be having an event and do it the week they're not having an event. You know, the consistency. And also, you never know if it's on Fridays, Saturdays. The playoffs start, like, 3 months after the regular season. You don't even know what the fuck is going on or – all of a sudden it just pops up and it's fucking crazy.
They should do like a reality show, like combine the Ultimate Fighter reality show with like The Bachelorette. So it's a bunch of guys. They have to like fight each other every week for this woman's for the rose. That would work. That's what America wants. That's the type of shit people in this country want.
So they should fight
reality shows.
They get to bang the girl if they win.
Yeah, and if they win, they finally get to bang the girl. Yeah.
That's not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea, actually.
I'm serious.
Yes. So, yeah. So, Don, what do you got coming up?
Oh, shit. I'm going somewhere. I can't remember where. I'm going somewhere doing something with somebody. Yeah. It's going to be big. It's real big. It's like PFL.
Bill, what do you got coming up?
I'm following their merchandising scheme.
What am I going to Hollywood Improv Tuesday and Thursday, Laugh Factory Wednesday, all this week. Nothing big.
Nice. That's cool. I'm going back on tour, Russell Peters. We're going to Montreal, Toronto, Ottawa. That's in December, November.
Nice.
excited about that. Yeah. And so really happy about that. And I'll be on Fox News this Wednesday and Saturday.
That's great, man. That's getting really regular for you.
Just doing my best, man. Just grinding. You know how it is, man. Like, just gotta keep going. Yeah, right. That's what I was telling my wife. I said, you know, like I'm writing this book, an autobiography. And like I think that, you know, my one, like, I wouldn't say talent, but the one thing I will say is I'm fucking stubborn. You know, that's always been is stubbornness, I think, is such an underrated quality.
Because
as far as you want to be a good wrestler, you want to be a good comedian. It's talent is a little bit, but it's stubbornness. It's just a will. It's just like you're not going to quit. I said if like life was a show business or life was a fight, like I would win because the person broke their hand punching me in the face. You know, you just have to just keep your face open enough to you take so many fucking punches, and then the guy breaks both their hands on you, and then you win the fight. Because the person can't use their hands anymore, man. Maybe their feet too, and also their knees and elbows. You break all their parts just by staying there. I mean, Don. I mean, I don't know anyone more stubborn than Don Fry. There was no quit, like ever. You know, I mean, fucking Ken Shamrock broke both his ankles and he didn't quit. Right? Like,
yeah, they hurt too. They still hurt. I still have problems with that right ankle. Oh my god. I'm thinking about suing him. You know, good attorney. No, you don't. Never mind.
You hear the Hawk-Tua girl is suing now? The Hawk-Tua girl is going to sue the guy who made
what? The
who did what?
The Hawk-Tua girl.
What?
The girl that goes, Hawk-Tua, spit on the dick. You know, she became
famous. Who's she suing?
The guy proposed in that video for making her famous.
What? You're kidding.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
She's famous, she's rich, she gets to do all this shit, and she's mad about it?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, maybe you shouldn't, I mean, you see a camera.
It's just more marketing.
And somebody asks you about blowjobs, and you say, oh, you got to spit on the dick. I mean, maybe don't say you like spitting on dicks on camera.
Or say it and enjoy it.
Right. Anyway. Right, exactly. All right. You guys are great. Fucking love you guys. Have a good week.
Bye.